Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. Today, we are joined by a singer-songwriter who recently won a big award. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the new music she's got out. We welcome Meg Smith to our program here on The Voice of America. Meg, it's great to have you on Border Crossings.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, now you have had an interesting story in that you grew up in L.A. and then you moved to New York.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in L.A., which is sort of like, I mean, for me, it was normal, obviously, but as I sort of went out of my shell and moved to different places, I found people were like, you grew up in LA? I'm like, yeah, I did, especially in music. So many people come out here to pursue music. So being from LA was like a little unusual. But then, yeah, I moved to New York about 6 years ago, and I've been living there for a while now, and I love it.
Well, the two different polar opposites. You know, in terms of the size and the speed of things and the lifestyle, the vibe, California, everybody. I used to live in Calabasas, so I know that area very well. And it's just a beachy, laid back. Everybody's chill. And New York, totally opposite. Everybody's in a business suit. Everybody's got somewhere to go and somewhere to be and in a hurry to get to it. How did you make that transition from one lifestyle to another?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it was great. I think I've always been like a go-getter, like very driven and very like excited to work. So I really thrive off that New York energy. I also think like there's so many amazing creative people in New York of all different disciplines. There's so many amazing artists, so many amazing musicians. And there are in LA as well. But I think in New York, everything's a lot closer together, just like physically and like the way that the city is. So walking down the street and, you know, you'll see someone in like the coolest, craziest outfit you've ever seen in your life. And I love that. I love that there's just art everywhere. Everywhere you go, every person you meet makes art in some way. And I think it's just the coolest.
Yes. People are definitely not afraid to be unique in Southern California. If you go to Santa Monica, you know, go down the boardwalk, the sidewalks, whatever, you can see everybody doing everything.
Yeah.
And it is cool. It's a cool vibe. And we were talking with Meg Smith, who has some new music out, and your music also talks about your experiences in both locations or your love of California predominantly. And in one of the songs, talking about being patient in the car in traffic. Now, you picked the two cities with the world's worst traffic, New York and Los Angeles.
I don't know what it is. I love traffic. No. It's funny because when I started making my most recent EP, Rom-Com Pop, I was bouncing back and forth between these two places a lot. And I think you can hear that in the music. I ended up writing most of the songs with my good friend, Will Daly, who's out in California. So I would sort of be living in New York and then I would, you know, come out to LA and see my parents and work with Will. So I was doing a lot of moving around and weirdly like falling in love in both places, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of movement and it was really fun, you know, when we finished the project and we were making the cover art and all of that stuff. The cover art is actually like my California license, which felt like very fitting. I think I got so excited by New York and by the people there and didn't expect myself to be coming back to LA as often as I did, but I think something happens when you move away from your hometown, wherever it is, that when you actually do travel back, it has this nostalgia to it that I really didn't expect. Mm-hmm. A lot of the songs reference LA, the traffic, driving down Mulholland and all that kind of stuff. So that was really fun to play around with in the songs.
Well, we are broadcasting around the world right now in 100 different countries worldwide. So people are hearing from somebody who's experienced the two coasts in the United States. And anybody from America knows that they are vastly different. What was the biggest change that you had to adjust to moving from LA to New York?
Honestly, the subway was so scary. Because I was, again, like I was so used to being in like my mom's Prius stuck in traffic in high school. So going from that to New York and being like uptown, downtown, the R, the Q, like which train am I taking? It was so confusing. It was very stressful. But I think there's a big misconception that New Yorkers are very hostile, not very friendly. But when you're a confused person who just came to New York, people are so willing to help you, which, and they can tell, like, if you're 18, I just moved there for college. So people could tell, like, okay, she doesn't know what she's doing. Like, she needs to know what train to get on. So people were really nice and really helpful. And I think that's just, it's a big misconception about New York that I definitely believed before I moved there. And then you find out there's a lot of sort of camaraderie among people in New York. Like, people are very proud to be in New York. And therefore, like, they really like helping each other out.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that your latest EP is out. How many EPs have you had out?
This is my second one that I just put out. I released an EP when I was, gosh, like 20, and it's called American in Paris. Like, speaking about coasts and travel, I guess that's like weirdly been a theme.
Yeah.
But I moved to New York, like I said, and then I studied abroad in London and ended up doing a lot of trips to Paris, and I went to Amsterdam and just doing a lot of travel. And that really influenced the music I was making at the time. I felt like sort of fish out of water being in Europe and navigating and finding my way around. And then in another sense, like feeling fish out of water, just like in who I was, because I was becoming an adult and moving away from my parents for the first time and like being very confused and trying to figure out who I was in this new place. So that was kind of what all of that stuff was about, that whole EP was about. And then, yeah, it's funny, I didn't even really make that connection that, you know, then when I made Rom-Com Pop, I was talking a lot about LA and my hometown and a place that I didn't expect myself to be coming back to all that much. But now, I mean, I'm here in LA right now. Like, I come back all the time and I love it. And it's I'm really lucky to be able to do that.
You start suffering Prius withdrawal. You got to go get your Prius right.
Like in California. Prius. I miss the traffic. I don't, but you know.
Meg Smith is talking with us and now she's going to sing for us. What are you going to sing first?
I'm going to sing my upcoming single that I'm really excited about. It's called Break Up With a Friend, and it's about a friendship breakup.
Simple enough. Break Up With a Friend. Here's Meg Smith on Border Crossings.
Swear that I love you. You'd swear I was lying. There wasn't an Uber that we didn't cry in. It's so unoriginal. These days you're just on digital. I bet you say I'm a narcissist and leave out all this stuff. I'm not getting caught up anymore. It's psychosomatic. Feel bad out of habit. I'm misery high off your feelings again. So melodramatic. Not fun while it lasted. Is this what it's like to break up with a friend? You'd be a bridesmaid in my wedding. It's psychosomatic. Feel bad out of habit. I'm misery high off your feelings again. So melodramatic. Not fun while it lasted. Is this what it's like to break up? Out of habit, a misery high off your feelings again. So melodramatic, not fun while it lasted. Is this what it's like to break up with a friend?
Border Crossings, Meg Smith, and Break Up With a Friend. Do you find that you write your songs from your experiences or from your observations? Do you, which perspective do you take when you're writing music?
I think it's a mix of both. I think a lot of times I come in wanting to write about my own life, but I think the people around me really shape my own experience. Mm-hmm. So it'd be naive for me to say that my songs come only 100% from my own experience all the time. Mm-hmm. Even with Rom-Com Pop, it's an EP. It's four songs about falling in love for the first time. So it was obviously very much about my own experience. But then at the same time, like talking to friends of mine who are in relationships, talking to friends of mine who were getting out of relationships, talking to the person I was falling in love with and learning about him and his life and his experiences, all of those different things really shaped the music. And like I said, I worked a lot with my great friend, Will Daly, and he also was in a very long-term relationship and still is when we were making this EP. So as we were writing the songs together, you know, he had his own perspective that he was bringing into the mix too.
Are you still in love? Is that relationship
flourishing? I am. Oh God, knock on wood. As of now, yes, everything is wonderful.
And that's your first love? This is the first?
It's my first love. It's the first one.
Wow, that's amazing.
Which is crazy. And one of the really weird things that happened with this project is I came into the EP not knowing it was going to be an EP, not knowing what it was going to be about. And really weirdly, from the time we started the EP to the last song we wrote, I fell in love. So all of those songs were like very much in the moment, which is crazy. I think the first one that we wrote was You Make Bad Things Not Suck. And I remember I came to the songwriting session and it was my first songwriting session with Will, who ended up doing the whole EP. Again, was not planned. It just happened that way. And we sat down and they, you know, him and my friend Eden, who was another writer in the session, was like, I was like, what's going on in your life? And I was like, I just met someone, but I'm like really scared. And is right when I'd met him. So we wrote a song about that sort of first initial nervousness, that fear, but also that like just excitement about being really excited about someone new. And then I think the last song that we wrote on the project was Cautiously Optimistic, where I have the lyric, you know, it was, I talk a lot about my high school prom and about how like, you know, when you're in high school and you have crushes, you feel so awkward and horrible. And you're like, and you know, my prom was a horrible experience and I felt so weird and like no boy would ever like me. And I talk about that and then I have the lyric, but now I'm in love. So it's a really, it's funny the way that it happened. I think you can really hear someone, you know, slowly but surely falling in love over the course of those four songs, which was not how I planned it at all. But
it's very interesting to hear you say you're a very beautiful girl and you had trouble getting a prom date.
It was a very stressful experience. I think part of it was I went to an all-girls high school.
So we had
to ask the boys to prom, which was very stressful. Yeah, I had a horrible prom. And it's funny, like one of the things when we were writing Cautiously Optimistic that I was talking about was I feel like even though now, you know, it's been a hot minute since I was in high school, but you realize the ways in which those experiences really shaped your personality and form who you are, because you're so impressionable when you're like 16, 17, 18, and the boy, you know, doesn't want to go to prom with you, or your best friend dates the boy she knows you have a crush on, or, you know, or you, whatever it is, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like
yes.
Those experiences, even though you're like, oh, that's silly, I was so young, whatever. You realize that those feelings really carry with you even into adulthood, where you're like, oh my God, I'm the girl that no one wants to go to prom with, even though I'm like in my 20s, you know?
Well, you know, social media plays a big part in all that stress and anxiety now too. There's a lot of cyberbullying and a lot of people just, you know, get pleasure out of being haters online and stuff. And
yeah, it's funny. I grew up and when I was in middle school, I think is when people really started using Instagram. So I'm very much like of that generation of young people who grew up with social media being so integral to their relationships and to their social experiences. And, you know, obviously social media is a big part of what I do as a musician in terms of like playing people my music and reaching cool people and all of that. And I'm very grateful for that aspect, but it's funny, like, it's something I was talking about recently where, you know, when I'm, you know, obviously I post so much that I get the occasional hate comment, as everyone does, right? And then I'll go and I'll see, and, you know, a lot of the time, most of the times, it's like a teenager who's commenting something really mean, and you think like, oh, like they're a kid, you know, you're so, when you're a teenager, you're so angry and you're so frustrated. Now with social media, it's so easy with that anonymity to just like really project onto other people. So I think social media is an amazing tool, but it's also like we really need to be like kind to our young people who are using it because it's very stressful.
Yes, yes. It's made it easier to bully is what it's done because, like you said, you can hide behind some label or name or, you know, whatever that really isn't you. What's the Charlie Feldman Award that you just won?
Yeah, it was really crazy. Charlie Feldman is an incredibly iconic music industry person who's been so influential in the industry. And it was a really sort of bizarre experience where I was driving on my way to a session to write a song and my manager called me and she was like, you just won an award. And I was like, I didn't apply. What do you mean? What award? You know, and it was so random, but you know, BMI has been so helpful for me in my career and Charlie Feldman has been so influential and iconic. So the fact that they gave me this award for emerging songwriters and emerging artists was like, hey, like really surprising in a wonderful way. But also it's really special to, you know, feel like people are recognizing the work that you put in and see how hard you're working and like what you're making.
All right. Well, we're going to see what Meg Smith is making right now. She's going to do another song for us. What song have you picked?
I'm going to do a song off my most recent EP. It's called You Make Bad Things Not Suck.
You Make Bad Things Not Suck. Here's Meg Smith.
Traffic on the 405. Windows down cause your AC broke in June. I would have never gone this way past 5. But I like being parked on this freeway with you. I love the traffic on the 405. Windows down cause your AC broke in June. I would have never gone this way past 5. But I like being parked on this freeway with you. Used to hate everything all at once. But you make bad things not suck as much. I love the valley when it's 98. I swear that we're the only ones without a pool. Am I sweating from the climate change? Or because I can't keep myself off of you. I got way too comfortable being a citizen. But now this bad city's better with you in it. Used to hate everything all at once. But you make bad things not suck. So this is what it feels like, looking on the bright side, kissing through the red lights. All it took was you to change my mind, cause I used to hate everything all at once. But you make bad things not suck. Got me looking around for Ashton like I'm being punked. Cause you make bad things not suck as much. Da 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 da.
Border Crossings, it's Meg Smith who's with us today, and you make bad things not suck, which is a good thing, I guess, I think.
It's a great thing.
And it's nice to find a guy that can do that for you. Does he know the songs that you've written about him are about him?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, it's, I think it's par for the course. I, you know, when you're a songwriter, people sort of realize very quickly, oh, okay, there's going to be some songs about me for better or for worse.
So he didn't have you sign some agreement that if you break up, there's gonna not going to be any mean, nasty songs.
Oh, no. You know, I think there's an amazing Taylor Swift interview where someone asks her, you know, do you ever feel guilty about, you know, the songs that you write about the people who hurt you and about the boys who hurt you? And she says very simply, if boys don't want me to write bad songs about them, they shouldn't do bad things. And I stand by that. I think there that's great advice.
Yes, I like that. I like that. Now, you also studied, I don't know if you had a chance to study with Clive Davis in his did you meet him? I mean, you studied the Clive Davis Institute or something?
Yeah, the Clive Davis Institute at NYU. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool school. I never met him personally, but he came and gave some talks and presentations and all of that really cool stuff. Just being in the same room as him, I was like, oh my God, like he made the careers of people like Whitney Houston. I mean, he's just an absolute icon. And it's a really cool school. So many amazing people have come out of that program, like Maggie Rogers and Fletcher. So it was really cool to be in a school with so many like really talented people from all different backgrounds you could collaborate with. And it's, I still work with a ton of people every day that I went to school with, which feels pretty unique.
That is fantastic. So who do you get your songwriting inspiration from?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes from a million different places. I grew up in a very musical family, so that's always just been with me. But I listen to all kinds of things. I love singer-songwriters from the 70s, like James Taylor and Carly Simon and Carole King. I mean, they are like the best songwriters of all time. So I love them so much. But I also grew up with Taylor Swift and with One Direction and with the boy bands and with Katy Perry and just these Max Martin as a, you know, amazing songwriter and producer. So I also have a lot of that sort of like pop energy and pop influence in what I do, because that's what I grew up with.
Wow. So if you were given the choice, if somebody said, Meg Smith, you can either be a singer or a songwriter, you can't be both, which would you choose?
I think I'm a songwriter first. I really feel like I'm a person who I write songs and I sing so that I can sing the songs that I wrote, if that makes sense. You know, there are so many amazing vocalists who didn't write as much, but were really artists in their own right. I think about Linda Ronstadt. While she wasn't, you know, writing all of her own material, like she was an artist and those songs were hers. So there are a lot of amazing artists like that. But I really see myself as being a writer first. I'm the person who, you know, I sit down in my room and I write a song. And the singing sort of came after that for me, where I felt like, okay, I've written these songs, but I really feel like I need to share them with people. And I felt important for it to be my own voice.
Well, I'm not sure if you've been told this before. I'm assuming you have. You look like Taylor Swift. I mean, you mentioned Taylor Swift. Do people mistake you for her? I mean, if you're in a restaurant.
No, nothing like that. No? I mean, I think it just happens when I, you know, I'm blonde curly hair. That's right off the bat. I started writing and performing when I was like a teenager, like 12 and 13. So I would show up at these shows and at these open mics and recording sessions, you know, with my like lots of curly hair and my acoustic guitar singing songs about crushes that I had. And people were like, oh, Taylor Swift, which is so cool. I mean, she really defined a generation of young songwriters like me. I think so many of the songwriters that I work with, who are even just like vaguely around my age, when we're talking about how we got into songwriting, people always mention Taylor Swift, because she made it clear that you could be a young person writing your own story, singing songs that you wrote, no matter if you're a teenage girl or whatever age you are, whatever gender, you know, you can write your own story. And it didn't feel like it'd been done to that extent before. So I really looked up to her when I was growing up, and I remember she was my first concert and I saw what she did. I was like, God, I want to do that. Like, I can write songs about my life. Like, cause you know, you're like, I'm a kid, I'm a teenager. Why do people care what I have to say? And then you have an artist like Taylor Swift get up there and be so herself and realize that the feelings that you have matter, even though you're a kid or a young girl. So she definitely inspired me a lot, especially
young people are very important, you know, right now in society and the world. You know, the new voters are going to be very, very important. The young people will have a voice and change here in this country in the future. But we're talking with Meg Smith. We're talking about music today. We're staying focused on the subject of music. And so if you could name three collaborators, three people you'd like to collaborate with, your top three choices, they could be dead or alive.
Yeah. Ooh. Wow, that makes it trickier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. I think right off the bat, Carly Simon, she's an absolute icon. You're So Vain, like, changed my life. I mean, that's one of the best songs of all time, I think. I think she's so incredible. And then coming to someone just, like, more recent, there's a young artist that I really love named Chapel Roan, who I'm a big fan of. I think what she does is so cool. She's so creative and artistic and writes amazing music. I'm a big fan of hers. Oh gosh, one more person. Oh, this is a wild card, but one of my favorite bands from the 70s is Electric Light Orchestra.
I saw Jeff Lynn
perform when I was in high school, and it was like the best concert I've ever been to. We have very different vibes, so it would be a weird collaboration, but I think he's just the coolest. I love Electric Light Orchestra,
awesome.
And that would be super fun.
Wow, ELO, one of my favorite bands as well. Would you do another song for us, Meg Smith?
I would love to, yeah.
What are you going to do for us?
I'm going to do another song of my most recent EP. This one's called Cautiously Optimistic.
And Rom-Com Pop is the name of the new EP. All right, Cautiously Optimistic. It's Meg Smith on Border Crossings.
I used to get in fights to beat her ends for bad friends back before I realized the toll it takes. I used to end my nights all teary-eyed in the Uber ride home before you had your own drawer at my place. As I've been told by boys I know, I'm the most jaded girl they know. I've always been painfully realistic, but now I'm cautiously optimistic. When I think about my high school crush, how I held a grudge, cause I had to watch him dance with her at prom. But now I'm learning how to make my peace with that, packing all my bags and leave the past, keep the dress and move on. As I've been told by boys I know, I'm the most jaded girl they know. I've always been painfully realistic, but now I'm cautiously optimistic. I still miss my friends, I still wonder what I should have said. I still feel alone when I'm in the car on my way home. 18 was rough being the girl running out of the prom, cause she wasn't enough. But now I'm in love. I've always been painfully realistic, but now I'm cautiously optimistic.
Border Crossings, Meg Smith joining us, and Cautiously Optimistic. What's the story behind that song?
Yeah, that was the most recent one that we wrote for the EP, Rom-Com Pop. And I sat down with my collaborator, Will Daly, and we're just talking about our life and really didn't know what we were going to be writing about that day. And we were just sort of catching up. And I was telling him that for the first time in a long time, I was feeling very hopeful about my life, but also like I was very afraid of that hope that I was feeling, because I was like, what if it all comes crashing down tomorrow? I don't know. And he's like, oh, you're cautiously optimistic. And I was like, yes. And I had had that phrase in my notes up in my phone for a while. I thought it would make a good song title. So it felt very special that he had just like said that. So we sat down and we started writing that song. And then his roommate, who's also named Will, which is very funny, walked in the room and was like, "Oh, what are you guys writing?" And he sat down and he helped us write it too, which was really fun. And it was a really, it was a song that felt really easy to write. We wrote it very quickly, and also felt very therapeutic and like a very good sort of last song to write for the EP.
Are you a fan of romantic comedies?
Of course. Of course.
What's your favorite of all time? What's your favorite?
It's got to be When Harry Met Sally. I think that's one of my top favorite movies of all time.
Yes.
It's an amazing movie. I love Meg Ryan.
Do you cry at the end on the Empire State Building?
Oh, that's Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, so, I'm sorry.
But right. It's okay. It's okay. That's also Meg Ryan. That's with Tom Hanks. I also love that one. But no, for me, it's When Harry Met Sally, when he's running through the streets trying to see her at the New Year's Eve party. Just like tears.
And that's with Billy Crystal. And that's, that has the great scene in the restaurant, which is
exactly. The classic.
The classic. Meg Smith is our guest, and she has a new EP out, Rom-Com Pop. And are you going out on tour for the new album?
I actually just finished a tour opening up for an artist named Holden Miller, which was super fun. We did Boston, Philly, New York, and DC. I have another show coming up in May in Brooklyn on May 22nd. I'm opening for an amazing artist called Love You Later. So that's going to be super fun. And I'm really excited to hopefully be doing some more touring in the summer.
All right. And if people want to check out your tour schedule or they want to get more information about the new EP, where do they go?
Yeah, the easiest way to find me is on Instagram at Meg Smith LOL. But you can also check out my website if you want. It's MegSmithMusic.com.
All right. That sounds fantastic. What a pleasure it is to meet you and have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. You're a pleasure to talk to. And any acting in your future? I mean, as beautiful as you are coming from LA where everybody's an actress.
I don't know. We'll see. I just, a song I wrote called Cross My Heart, I Hope You Die is actually a theme song of a TV show and was just in a Netflix show called Jenny in Georgia also. So maybe we'll see. Anything's possible.
You have a lot of contradictions going on, and some of the song titles are very, I mean, F Friday, and then, you know, one you just mentioned, and then yet you talk about positive positivity and things like that. So I'm going, which one is it?
All over the place. You know what? I think we all have all of those feelings inside of us. Sometimes you want a song that, you know, you can slow dance to with the person you're falling in love with. And sometimes you want a song that you can like scream while you're like lighting someone's clothes on fire. And I want to give everyone whatever they need.
Oh, well, your boyfriend needs to be real careful then. She's got that idea in her mind. Thank you, Meg Smith, for being on the show. Rom-Com Pop is the name of the new album, and it's an EP that's available. You can get it wherever music is available. And we look forward to hearing from Meg Smith in the future when she stops by in D.C. Come into our studios and join us next time you're here.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. My name is Larry London, and you are watching Border Crossings on VOA TV.